May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Again, the text that we meditate on today is drawn from Matthew chapter 26. As we continue with three words of truth, today's words, watch and pray. It was in a garden where everything was perfect that Satan came to Adam and Eve and slipped poison into humanity's mind and ruined everything. Grass began to wither, flowers began to fall. We know that fruit rotting on trees, this too was a problem. Humanity began aging, laboring, suffering, dying. Adam and Eve lived a long time after falling into sin, the scripture records, but eventually they would return back to a grave filled with dust, the very dust from which they were formed. But maybe worse than all of that is the fact that humanity now was hiding. Man went into hiding, hiding from a God whose visits to the garden in the cool of the day used to be looked forward to with such eagerness. Sin separates us from God. It continues to do so today. They wanted to talk and to listen to Satan. Well, that didn't turn out so well. It only put humanity in a position where we are able to talk and listen to Satan forever, should we like. In hell. Now today we find ourselves in a garden again. This morning we find ourselves together with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Far from the perfection of that original garden, Jesus is bearing the heavy, full weight of all of the world's sins brought to bear upon him. This garden is ground zero. This garden is where the Son of God would begin in earnest to undo all of the hellish work that Satan did long, long ago. Psalm 40 depicts it quite well. Here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. And this very same Son of God bids us, his disciples, to watch and pray. Watch our Savior faithfully do the will of God and pray that God's will be done also within us. It was such a small thing. Those of you who remember, an O-ring, a little tiny piece of equipment on an otherwise huge, sophisticated rocket hurtling into the sky. One little mishap in an otherwise well-planned and highly trained mission to launch a space shuttle into space. It took one small failure on the space shuttle Challenger to bring the entire mission to a halt and such a devastating end. One little thing. One little thing can destroy a lot. One little thing in the midst of the garden destroyed everything. It seems like such a little teeny weeny thing. A little teeny choice made by our original parents. But in reality, it was a deep and a very profound and an entirely wickedly ingenious temptation that the evil one devised, designed to corrupt the entire human race and all of its will. Look at you, he said. Look at you. You are the crown of God's creation. You are the most wonderful thing. You are even above me. Look at you. You would think that God would hold you in a little bit more esteem. You would think that he would treat you a little bit more like an equal. I mean, jeepers, God must really be holding out on you. You know, he's really holding out on you, and I know exactly what you should do to get even with him. We were created in God's image. We had everything. God did not hold back anything when it came to us. Our will and God's will were perfectly in line with each other, perfectly in sync with each other. But not after that. Ever since that fateful day, our human will has been in a relentless battle against God's will. Think about it. Think about how casually that first person pronoun is used in our life. Think about how easy it is for us to talk about me, and how easy it is to talk about my, and how easy it is to talk about my and I and all those things. We hear people assert it all the time. I want to be whatever I want to be. I ought to be able to be whatever I want to be. I ought to be able to do whatever I want to do. My decision, my body, my choice. We can see this inborn self-centeredness in every aspect of our life. Satan taught us well to say no. No, God. My will be done. What Satan didn't reveal, though, was that it was this very same defiance. It was this very same defiant will that got him and others thrown out of heaven and condemned to hell. And he would drag us right there with him. But look. Look in our text today, because here is something we don't want to miss. Here is the second Adam. Here is Jesus, who has come to do everything right, who has come to make everything right. And he's not going to blow it. He's not going to blow it like Adam did. Watch. But see what it will cost him. He took three: Peter, James, and John. Not to watch for Judas, by the way. Jesus tells them to watch. But not to watch for Judas, and not to watch for any kind of impending danger, not to watch for any soldiers. They were to watch him. These three had been with Jesus. These three had seen Jesus do mighty and awesome things. These three had seen things about Jesus that the other nine had not. These things had seen Jesus raise a little girl from the dead. These three had seen Jesus transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, standing there in all of his glory. But they needed to watch him now. They needed to watch him most of all right now, so as to understand that the Messiah was really all about this. Not the glory, not the fame, not the power, not a shining success after one shiny success, but instead it was ultimately that Jesus came to humble himself and to give himself obediently even to the death that was going to happen on the cross for the sins of the entire world. No ordinary death. His Father asked him to drink the cup of his judgment for the entire world, to experience God's full wrath. And as a true human being, Jesus cringes at the thought. Who wouldn't? Father, if it be possible, if there be any other way, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let it pass. Some other way. But now watch what happens. And hear what else he says. Father, if it be possible, yet not as I will, but as you will. Your will be done. You see, the tempter had come to the garden just like he had come to that garden a long time before. The tempter had come to the garden to again, once again, try and ply his old trade and his old tricks, warping the will of the Savior this time. But this time he lost. This time the Son's will would remain in harmony with his Father's. This time he would follow through on God's divine plan. And thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, because when Jesus returned to his disciples, where do we find him? What a contrast. They are sleeping. Imagine that. Just an hour before, Peter had stood up and said, "Never, Lord, never is this going to happen. And if it does, I will never forsake you. I will go to the cross with you." James and John, a few days before, they had also confidently asserted that they would undergo the very same baptism together with Jesus. They would suffer all loss. And yet here they were, sleeping. These fishermen on, fishermen who fished all night, fishermen who oftentimes stayed up, fishermen who focused their mind and their attention on the task that was at hand, and yet here they are this night, fully asleep. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Weakened by sin. Weakened by the sin that lives within. We know the good. We may even desire to do the good. But so often we can't. We fail. We resist. We fail to watch. We fail to pray. We even play with fire. And we get burned. We get burned repeatedly. The season of Lent is all about spiritual discipline. It's all about watching. It's all about praying. Jesus doesn't tell us to somehow or another do it on our own. He doesn't somehow or another tell us to somehow, some way, within this weak flesh of ours, to find some kind of strength, to find some kind of power, to find some kind of resolve to try harder, to find some kind of strength to do better. He doesn't just say, watch and pray, and you're on your own. But instead, what does he pray? He says, pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Prayer is important. Prayer is important for our Christian life. But here Jesus isn't talking just about praying for those who are sick and praying for the dying and praying for those who are hurting or praying about the blessings that God has given to us or praying in thanksgiving. But rather, Jesus is bidding us to pray for God's powerful help in our time of testing, a plea for God's strength and help against the spiritual attacks of sin and death and hell and this sinful flesh of ours and the world that we live in. We can't stand up against these attacks on our own, and he knows it. We're far too weak, and it's nothing but arrogance for us to think that we can possibly stand on our own power. We're not even expected to, but here is a prayer that is certainly powerful, and here is a prayer that is certainly helpful, and here is a prayer that is certainly beneficial, because it is a prayer that is closely allied with another one. Your will be done. And this is God's will, to break and to frustrate every evil will, and to protect his believers all the way to eternal life through his powerful word, through his powerful son, to cling in faith to him who in love came and gave himself, our only Savior. You see, this is not a prayer for God's will to simply be done by us, as much as it is for God's will to be done within us. By God's strength and by God's power and by Christ's Spirit alive and active in us. It is a prayer for God's will to be done within us and for it to be done for us. His saving will, his loving and forgiving will, his will to work within us a whole new life. His Spirit guiding, his Spirit directing. God directs us here to watch and to pray. May we be ever so faithful to look to him in all that we say and do. Watch and pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please take out the white card and fill it out. If you would fill it out so we have a record of your being here today. And if you would, please turn it over. We pray together the call to Christian fellowship on the back. Dear Father in heaven, we have gathered together in Christian fellowship to worship you. We've confessed our sins and we thank you for your forgiveness. We've sung praises to you and listened to your holy word. Help us now to return to our homes and families filled with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to love others as you love us by our words and actions. Make us your witnesses here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We gather our gifts for the Savior.